It's the seventh Sunday. You can see it. It's right there on the front of the bulletin. The seventh Sunday of Easter. That glorious and miraculous resurrection day when Jesus rose from the dead to the fear and joy of Mary Magdalene. Every week's gospel since describes a new revelation of Jesus showing up unexpectedly in person and sometimes unrecognized. After Mary, the disciples meet Jesus on the road and run to see the empty tomb. On Easter too, Jesus shows up in a locked upper room with the disciples and Thomas, the doubter, doesn't believe it's possible until Jesus invites him to touch the wounds in his side. And then there's the road to Emmaus, where three of the disciples don't recognize Jesus until they are having dinner together. That one is a famous Caravaggio painting, so it must be true. Then there's Jesus having breakfast with the disciples on the beach in another text. And in another, disciples call to go up the mountain with Jesus and told to share good news to the world. For 40 days, the Gospels offer us and the disciples the assurance of Jesus's real and human presence. Moments of life, perhaps as they'd been not so long before for the disciples. What must they have thought? Could Jesus have come back to finish the job? To finish the work they'd so longed for, the overthrow of the oppressive government, the end of Roman rule? Was now the time for Israel to reign? So boldly, they ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Not for you to know the time or the season, is the response. With some promise of a Holy Spirit to guide and comfort. And then he was gone. In some mysterious way, taken from them again. And as the book of Acts tells it, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. This is, as Joseph mentioned, what the church's calendar calls the Feast of the Ascension, 40 days after Easter. Always specifically on a Thursday here in the 21st century, and it is not a high attendance church day. It seems a sort of bump on the road to Pentecost, which is next Sunday. Why not just skip it? That's because what happens next is, I believe, a vital truth of the resurrection. Not just for those disciples, but a vital truth of resurrection life for us who are called to live as disciples even now. So those earlier disciples, in their confusion, once they've stopped gazing into the heaven, gather the followers. This time there's a crowd. You heard that list: Philip, Bartholomew, Jesus' brothers, Mary the mother, and even certain women who are called to gather once again, to go back to Jerusalem, maybe to that same upper room where they'd been with him before. That same room where they'd had the Last Supper, the same one where they gathered after the first devastation of the crucifixion. And this time, Jesus was truly absent. So what did they think? What did they do? How did they figure this out? And Scripture tells us they devoted themselves constantly to prayer, even as they waited with hope for whatever promise might be fulfilled. Did they get on their knees? Did they read the Torah? Did they sing the psalm? Did they sit Shiva? Did they pray that traditional prayer that Jesus had taught them, Abba, Father? Probably all of that. But I suspect, too, they wailed and lamented, wept and wondered, asked questions, maybe even shouted a few epithets, words with questions, but maybe too words of hope. And in it, they found a way to wait for what comes next, even though they didn't know. Jesus had promised a Holy Spirit who would not leave them comfortless. But what was that? So could it be that this time in the church's calendar for us, the one between the Feast of the Ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, isn't a non-event, but one that reminds us over and over again that God is available to us in the waiting time, in the in-between time, in those times which we long for God and reach out for God's presence in our lives. Of course, not just between Ascension and Pentecost, but all the time, to share our joys, our sorrows, our hopes, our despairs, our wondering. Like Advent time, full of hope that a baby is to be born, or springtime when finally flowers are showing up again, or warm or too warm weather is coming, or when we're grieving over a loved one about to die, or one who has died, or when we hear a diagnosis, or need some space in our own lives. Prayer is for when we are afraid and lost, and when we are full of so much joy that we can hardly contain it. It is for those times when we are alone, and for those times when we are in community. We too can devote ourselves to prayer. In the church, of course, it's what we're doing now with our Book of Common Prayer, but also in all those other places, at home, alone, with one another, in public spaces and private. Not because we'll get something we want. I'm pretty sure God knows we don't mean it when we bargain, and that's okay. But prayer is not a transaction, but a connection, a relationship with God, with ourselves, with one another, and I would dare to say, the universe. Don't leave us comfortless, says the collect for today. And prayer is the answer to that Spirit's promise. There's no prescription or proscription for prayer. Recently at the women's retreat, we were reminded of Anne Lamott's book about prayer. Its title is Wow, Thanks, Help. Those are the only prayers she has. Poet Mary Oliver's prayer is always about noticing, seeing the universe, and naming it. Joy Harjo wrote a poem called "I Am a Prayer." And last week, one of the tutors from Homework Help said to me, "For me, Homework Help is prayer." Our praying with or without words, by ourselves, in community, or when two or three are gathered, is a portal into that universal promise that each one of us is worthy, made in the image of God, and we are invited to be constantly in that presence, even if it doesn't seem to be in person. We learn to pray from Jesus, of course, and also from others whose practice is not like ours at all, but who the one God gives grace for all. Buddhist meditation, perhaps, in the sacred space of a synagogue or a temple or a garden. For me, it was in the basement of a cathedral church in Boston, Massachusetts, where Muslims have been praying Juma Friday prayers for over 20 years. People working in the city who couldn't go home during the day would use that space for their Friday praying. I was in Boston that year on sabbatical, and it was 2013, the year of the bombing. My niece was running that marathon, and thankfully got over the finish line before the bomb. But in the days that followed, in the dark days that followed, there were pleas for forgiveness, there were pleas for vengeance, there were prayers for all, and there was lostness. I felt that lostness myself. How can we even go forward with so much violence? The dean of the cathedral in Boston often participated in the Juma prayers and gave a welcome, and he invited me to come that day, on that Friday after the bombing. The women had a space in the basement, a little far away, high up. There were about 15 women gathered to the 200 or so men who were there below, kneeling on prayer rugs. We had our own above. I tried to stay far away in my prayer so I wouldn't disturb the women. But as the time for prayer came, one of them came to me and held my arm close, gently, and showed me how to kneel. She showed me where to place my hands. She told me that we would be shoulder to shoulder so no evil could get in. And she showed me how to place my praying hands and head on the floor and stood by me the whole time. In those moments, the Holy Spirit was with us all. Our praying was to that one God who made each of us in God's image. And together, we prayed for peace. Together, we prayed for oneness. Together, we prayed that this would not happen again. It was an in-between time, of course. And God invites us to pray in all of those times. But for me, I now know that body, mind, and spirit are a prayer. And God hears them all. And so Ascension invites us to pray. in the middle time, in the waiting time, in the knowing time, in the not knowing time, but counting on the promise of the Spirit. Jesus' ascension, that journey to heaven, became the disciples' journey to travel to the ends of the earth and share good news. That is our journey as well. Prayers to pray, work to do, people to love. Amen.